Number one, it says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locust and wild honey, and preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized of John in Jordan, and straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we'll stop our reading there. This is a very active chapter. I think probably just about of all the chapters in Scripture, this is probably one of the most active portions of Scriptures. At least things just take place after place after place that's taking place in this particular chapter. But I want to draw your attention to the statement in the first verse that Mark gave, the Son of God. There at the end, the Son of God. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who is he? The Son of God. The Son of God. And that's exactly, if you were to study the book of Mark, you would see that I believe that only twice is that statement mentioned, the Son of God. It's mentioned here in this first verse, in this first chapter, and it's mentioned in, Mark the 15th chapter, when the soldier there saw the Lord Jesus Christ die, and he said, behold, he was. He truly was the Son of God. And that's really what this portion of Scripture, this whole book is about. Now, Mark calls him, every other place, calls him the Son of Man. The Son of Man. Because he was a servant. And he proved his life by the way he served. I was out of town this week a little bit, and I drove up through a town, and there was a church that had a marquee sign there, and on that sign it said, you're better to speak by not what you say, your message is better by not what you say, but how you live. And so I got to thinking about, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ lived his life. He lived a life. Not only did he preach messages, but had a life that backed it up. He lived what he preached. And that's what the book of Mark here is talking about. If you get in this first verse, you see just activity, miracle after miracle. Matter of fact, the Bible says that all of Jerusalem there was at the door of Simon Peter's house there, at the mother-in-law's house, were at the door wanting to be healed of their diseases. And you see there just constantly all these people that were healed. But I thought in my reading and in my study, there was something that's missing. I could see it lift itself off the pages, and I hope it's what the Lord was speaking to me. And it was really about witnesses. Not necessarily the works, not necessarily the miracle, not necessarily the serving, but the voices. There were witnessing voices at the beginning of this chapter. You'd have a hard time if you read it, it'll jump off the page. I can tell you one witnessing voice is the demonic. I'm not going to cover that. But Satan himself, it doesn't give two verses about the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when he was brought there in the wilderness, driven by the Spirit, the Bible says, into the wilderness, 40 days he was there in that wilderness. And he was fasting 40 days. And Satan tempted him. He said, if thou be the Son of God. He knew he was the Son of God. Otherwise he wouldn't have been trying to get him to fall. But you see the declaration there that Satan himself was saying, he's the Son of God. When the Lord Jesus Christ, later on in this chapter, you see that the man was in a synagogue and he was filled with demonic or demons. And those demons were playing, thou art the Holy One of God. They were declaiming who he was, that you're God's son. They knew it. Many demons there were saying that. They were declared. And I thought to myself, how many of God's children are voices for the Lord Jesus Christ? So I just want to share with you here what God put on the pages, not this preacher, but what the Lord put on the pages of the beginning of this gospel. And first you see a voice. And the first voice you see is the voice of John Mark. This first verse, let's look at it again. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Son of God. John Mark declares that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When Jesus Christ said that he was the Son of God, the religious crowd of that day knew that he was putting himself equal with God. They believed it was blasphemy. But yet if a man is to be saved, he is to know in his heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When they were asked, Peter was asked, or at least the disciples was asked by the Lord Jesus Christ, and said, who do men say that I am? And he said, talked about some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're John the Baptist, come from the dead. But he said, who do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed art thou, Bar-Jonah. He said, son of Bar. He said, flesh and blood hath not revealed unto you, but my Father, which is in the heaven. And John Mark, by God himself, declares in just this short little verse, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You want to be saved? Then you have to receive Jesus Christ, what the Word of God says. And the Mark here gives a witness to who Jesus Christ is. Not just the Son of Man, but right off the bat he says he's the Son of God. I don't know how much you know of Scripture, but when I think of John Mark, I don't think of good things. You know, you have certain people you think of and you begin to think of, and you don't think of the best things sometimes. There are certain people that you just know and certain things come to your mind. When I think of John Mark, there's not a whole lot of good things that come to my heart and to my mind. Not a whole lot is mentioned about John Mark, but there's one mentioned. I'll just see if I can bring to your remembrance. You say, well, Brother Sewell, you're just a negative person. I don't think I'm alone, because the news, they don't really report much good. They report the negative. You know why? Because people usually tend to hear and want to hear and share the negative. And so I don't believe I'm just alone, but I'm not trying to justify my own sin. But when you look here, you remember John Mark was the one that actually forsook Paul and Barnabas on their second missionary journey. Here they were. The Bible doesn't give a whole lot of clarification of what happened, but they sailed from one place and they came to Pamphylia. And the Bible just says that John Mark departed from them. Departed from them. He just left them right there in the middle of their second missionary journey. Now Barnabas was actually, he was kin to John Mark. I believe he was the cousin. This was his nephew, I guess. And so he was kin there to John Mark. So he had a tendency. He loved him. He wanted to try to help him. That was family. And so Paul one day said, you know what? Let's go back, Barnabas, and let's visit all those things and those churches that were established. Let's go back and revisit on that missionary journey. Barnabas said, that's a great idea. He said, let's take John Mark with us. And Paul said, no, we're not going to take John Mark. The Bible says there was a heated contention there. There was such a heated contention that Paul and Barnabas, the two great missionary couple that went out, were separated. They separated fellowship, at least in that sense, and at that time, because of a man named John Mark. And so they separated there. You no longer hear any much more about Barnabas, but you do hear about John Mark. Another thing, if you look at John Mark, most people believe, or scholars believe, he was come from a wealthy family there in Jerusalem. When Peter was thrown in prison, you remember there was a prayer meeting that took place. It took place in Marcus's house. That's where it took place at. And so when Peter there was set free by God's miraculous hand, he went to knock on the door. Remember the girl didn't even open the door. She just recognized Peter's voice. Well, that was the home of John Mark. Believe that his mother and the family were wealthy. And so in your mind's eye, you think, well, maybe he grew up with a silver spoon in his mouth, and so when things got tough, he quit. That's what he did, whether it was he was wealthy or not, but he quit. And so when you look at these things, you think, well, you know what? That doesn't speak very highly of him. If you take Mark chapter number 15 or 14, if you look at verse number 51 and verse 52, I'm not going to turn there, but when the Lord Jesus Christ was forsaken by all his own apostles, he was there praying in the garden. There's two verses about a man that's basically covered with a linen cloth. Most people believe that that was John Mark. And he left there, that linen cloth, naked, and fled from the Lord Jesus. And so when you look at John Mark, and you look at scriptures, you don't see a whole lot of things that you'd say, man, that guy's the one you want in the mission field. He's the guy you want serving. But the Lord restored a fellowship between him and Paul. But more importantly, restored a fellowship with him and the Lord. And when you look at this gospel, Mark was not an apostle. This is who wrote this book. He was not an apostle. Just like Luke the physician was not an apostle. But you would think, you know, surely the first four gospels, you would think, well, surely that would be written by Luke, by an apostle, maybe by an Apollos, an eloquent preacher, a speaker. But no. God says, you know what? I'm going to let John Mark write this gospel message. And so John Mark, by the direction of God himself, wrote this gospel message that we have, Matthew and Mark there. And so Mark is the one that God brought. And right off the bat, he says, in the beginning, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We were singing that song in the garden alone. And I thought about, he says, that the Lord, he said, we had there and that I come to the garden alone. And the fellowship it's talking in that song, a sweet fellowship that God gives. And when you take a man or a person that's Christian, you know what they know? They know the change that took place in their heart. And here's a man that's not an apostle, that if you look at it in Scripture, he's not really highly exalted, but yet God lets him because he had a fellowship, and God allows him because he had a relationship, because he knew the Lord, he'd been changed. And he said he'd been changed by the gospel, the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the gospel. You say, what is the gospel? Look, if you would, when Jesus said there in the same verses, verse number 15 of this chapter, verse 14, we'll begin reading there. And after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the what? The gospel. When Jesus Christ was there, you know how you enter into God's kingdom? Make him your Lord, receiving as your Savior. That's how you enter into the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Jesus Christ was bringing here after John, like I said, was put into prison. He began to preach the same gospel that John Mark. And so can I say this to you? John Mark, right off the bat, just makes a blanket statement and is a voice for Jesus Christ. And he calls him the Son of God. Just a voice. Then you see here the next verse. I want you to look at it with me. Verse number 2, as it is written in the prophets. So let's read verse number 1 and read verse number 2 together. I'm going into my second point. There's not only the voice of John Mark, but there's the voice of God's prophets. In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now that's not an end of the sentence. The Son of God, as it is written in the prophets. In other words, the Bible is saying here by John Mark and by God himself that Jesus Christ, all through the Old Testament prophets, have been prophesied of who he is. And so you cannot bypass the voice of the Old Testament. You can't bypass the voice of Scripture. You know, many people, you know what they want? They want a miracle. You give me a miracle, I believe. Show me some sort of sign, and I will believe. Not what the Lord gave them. The Lord gave us, and he gave you the Word of God. And he gave me the Word of God. And so that's what he says. He gave these scriptures to him. So I want you to see there the voice of God's prophets. In my study at home, I have a book called Believe in Miracles, but Trust in Jesus. Have you ever read that book? It's a good book to read. It's written by Adrian Rogers. But it says, believe in miracles, but trust in Jesus. And a lot of people won't believe in a miracle. They won't believe in a sign. They want to bypass the Word of God. And God gives us here straight in Scripture. I want you to turn with me to John chapter number 5 with me. Just go forward there to the Gospel of John. And I want to show you the importance of Scripture. The greatest witness to the power of the person of Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Many of y'all didn't hear that. But the greatest witness to the power and to the person of Jesus Christ is by the Word of God. You're not going to get saved apart from the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so don't put the Word of God on a shelf. Brother Rogers used to make this statement. He said, two things God hath married, and no man shall part: dust on the Bible and drought in the heart. When you have a dusty Bible and you don't use it, I want to tell you something. You're not the Christian, and I'm not the Christian we ought to be. We don't have the Word of God where it ought to be. And so when you look at here, I want you to look in John chapter number 5. I want you to look at verse number 39, what the Lord Jesus Christ said to the Jewish people. He said, search the Scriptures. Verse 39, John 5, 39. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of what? Of me. How do you find out who Jesus is, the Son of God? Search the Scriptures there. Look, if you would, verse number 45. Now, they didn't believe, like I said, that He was the Son of God. These are the religious crowd and the Jews there. Verse 45, He says, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. You see, they said, we have Moses as our father. They called him illegitimate. They said, you don't even know who your father is. And Joseph is your father. He said, God's my father. Because he was born, like I said, of God by the Holy Spirit. But he was also born of a virgin by man, because man broke the law. But God had to fulfill it. And so he fulfilled it. And so man fulfilled it through the Lord Jesus Christ being born of a virgin. And so they said, Moses is our father. Abraham's our father. And he tells them to, he said, one that accuses you, even Moses, whom you trust. He said, Moses is going to accuse you. You say, what are you talking about? Let's keep reading. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Any of y'all heard the word Torah? You ever heard the word law? Well, the Torah is the first five books of the Bible. You know who wrote them? Moses. Moses. And so they were saying, our heritage is with the law. Our heritage is with Moses. He's our father. And he's saying, you know what's going to testify against you? Not necessarily just Moses, but I think he's referring here to the Word of God. His words are going to testify against you, because you bypass the words of the prophet. And so let's keep on reading. He says, but if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? If you don't believe the Old Testament, how are you going to believe the New Testament? Look, if you would, a verse of Scripture. I wasn't planning on going there, but look at verse number 45 of chapter number 6. It is written in the prophets, and they that shall be taught of God, every man that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. I want to tell you, I think that's an absolutely marvelous verse. You get in the Word and begin to seek the Lord, seek Him in His Scriptures. I want to tell you something, you'll come to Christ. Put people there. God gives much about His Word. And so I want you to turn back with me to Luke chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16. Back there in the portion of Scripture. You say, Brother Sewell, this sounds like a Sunday school class. I'm just going to show you, give you the witness of what God's Word says. Luke chapter number 16. Very sombering portion of Scripture. There was a rich man in Lazarus. This is a real story. This is not a parable. Parables don't give names. This is a real story. Lazarus was a real man, a rich man. The Bible doesn't give him a title, because a lot of rich men trust in their riches. The Bible says it's easier for a rich man to go, or for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, than a rich man to go to heaven. Why? Because he's trusting his riches. He's trusting his wealth. And all of us are that. Usually try to rest into something or trust into something. And this rich man, The Bible says in hell he lifted up his eyes. And so he sees Abraham in his bosom. This is before the Lord Jesus Christ had been resurrected from the grave. And so in verse number 29, he saith unto him, they have Moses, or verse number 28, for I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And so he says to Abraham, he said, look, send Lazarus from the grave to go testify of this place of hell so they don't come. And this is what Abraham says to him, verse 29. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the what? Prophets. They have the first five books of the Bible and the prophets. They have the Old Testament. This is what it goes on to say. Let they hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said, if somebody was resurrected, they believe it. He goes on to say, and he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And so when you look at this Gospel of Mark, when he says, as it is written in the prophets, those prophets were voices. Turn back to Matthew with me. Just book of Matthew. It was probably the last portion of Scripture we turn to, but a few passages of Scripture in Matthew. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter number 1. In Matthew chapter number 1, if you take the four Gospels, the four Gospels, each one of them were written a little different perspective. John is the Gospel of John was written to prove the deity of Christ, that Jesus himself is God in the flesh. First verse says it. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, down there in the 14th verse. So the Gospel of John is written to prove the deity of Christ. You want someone that truly gets saved or not sure of salvation, but they want to know if God's real? Lead them to the Gospel of John. Say, begin to read it. Ask God to open your heart. Direct them there. Luke deals with the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He deals with every detail, but he deals with the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, sympathizes there of his body, but he deals with the mind of a Greek man. They put a lot of stock in the body of a man. And so it's written primarily about the Lord Jesus Christ, his humanity, and to the Greek. You look at Mark. Mark is dealing with primarily about service and sacrifice of the Son of Man, which is the Son of God. Talking about he came to serve. And it's written there to the Romans primarily, or to the Gentiles. If you go to the book of Matthew, the book of Matthew is written primarily and almost exclusively to all of us, but to the Jew. The Jew. And so I want to show you here where you see in portion of Scripture he referring to the Jews. And so in Matthew chapter number 1, look if you would, verse number 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the what? Prophets, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. And so you see in Isaiah, the 7th chapter, that prophet prophesies of Jesus Christ that he is Emmanuel, he is God with us. And so you see that they saw that, or at least they should have known that, in the book of Isaiah, in Matthew chapter number 2. I want you to look at verse number 5 with me. And they said unto him in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. There you see that's in Genesis chapter number 49, verse number 10. There Moses, the prophet, declares that to them. And then I want you to look at Matthew chapter number 3 and verse number 1. We'll begin reading. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. You know, the Jews were looking for a Messiah. They were promised a Savior and a Messiah. And all through those Old Testament prophets, from Moses all the way through the Old Testament, they declared who Jesus was, where he would be born, the very exact place. Matter of fact, when Herod, he went to the wise men there, to the religious men, and said, where is Jesus going to be born? They said, right there in Bethlehem, Judea. They knew where he was going to be born. How'd they know it? From the Old Testament. But did they go visit the Lord Jesus? Did they go visit him? Did they bring him any gifts? You know what they did? They bypassed the clear voice, the Word of God. Just a simple voice. Every prophet declared who Jesus was. Where he would be born. Who would be before him to prepare the way. Elijah there or John the Baptist. I mean, just over and over. What he would do, how he redeemed, how he would go to the cross. All, every portion of Scripture. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, when he resurrected from the dead, those two disciples on Emmaus Road, remember they were all discouraged, and the Lord began to expound from them from beginning at Moses, all the way through the Old Testament, what spoke of him. But the Jews, I want you to get this, the Jews missed the Lord Jesus as their Savior because they missed just the clear voice of the Word of God. They missed it. It's there in black and white. But they missed it. You know why? Because they probably just did it mundane. They heard it and they heard it and they heard it. They read it maybe. They didn't really ever receive it as their own. Didn't meditate on it. And the Lord Jesus Christ here right in front of their eyes, and they could never connect the two because they were blinded. Because they forsook and just bypassed that simple voice. Those prophets. Let me give you another voice, and I'll go quickly. Not only is there the voice of the prophets, John Mark, but there's the voice of John the Baptist. Let's go back, if you would, to Mark chapter number 1. You know, you look at all these other references of Scripture besides Mark. You look in Matthew chapter 3 and Luke 3 and John 1. You see, every one of them gives a reference to John the Baptist. Gives a reference. John the Baptist, the Bible says here, look at what verse number 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. You remember when they came to John, they said, John, who are you? Are you the Messiah? Are you one of the prophets? Who are you, John? He said, I'm just a voice. Now, John didn't perform one miracle, not one. He was an unusual voice. He was an unusual voice. He came, he was an unlikely man to hear this voice from. You know, if you were there in that day, you would probably go maybe to a church, a synagogue there, and you'd hear from maybe a priest there, you'd hear from a scribe, you might hear from a Pharisee, someone that was religious. I'm sure they'd have their religious garb on, they'd have the things, clothing. And so you'd be very hard-pressed to think of a voice of the Lord Jesus by a man like John the Baptist. But John the Baptist, the Bible says, he was clothed with camel's hair and had a leather, basically, belt around his loins. And he ate ate locusts and wild honey. Now, does that seem like a voice that you'd pay attention to? For 400 years, there was silence. From Malachi of the gospel for 400 years of silence. No prophet, no one preaching, there was those going through the motion, but no sign from heaven. And God sends an unlikely voice by a man that has camel's hair. But he was a voice. You know what people are looking for? They're looking for the refined. They're looking for the polished. And that's what they were looking for then, and they missed it. Many of them missed it because they were looking for what they had put in their heart and their mind. He was an unlikely voice in an unlikely place. You know where he came from? Came out of the wilderness to the wilderness. That's where he came. He came to the wilderness of Judea. And all of Jerusalem began to come and hear his gospel, preach his message. He was preaching the gospel. He had, like I said, an unlikely voice in an unlikely place. Most of the time you'll hear God's still small voice. Not in the place that you are looking for it and expecting it. But John the Baptist was a voice for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I give you, there's so many other voices here, but I'm just going to give you this last one. There's the voice of heaven. The voice of heaven. I want you to look, and I say it that way because I believe the voices are all over. But look, if you would, verse 11th verse. You see the Lord Jesus Christ there. And by the way, John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." He had a simple message too. Just preach the gospel. That's all we got to do. Just preach the gospel. And so he gave that voice. And then you see here in the 11th verse, Jesus came to be baptized with John. In this 11th verse, John the Baptist baptized him. In this 11th verse, it says, "And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." There's a voice of God saying, this is my Son, the Son of God. When Peter there was on the Mount of Transfiguration, he saw Elijah and Moses, and he said something stupid like probably most of us, at least I would say. He said, "Hey, let's make three prophets, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Jesus." And I heard that voice again and said, "This is my Son. Worship thou him." He's the one to worship. He's the Son of God. And so when you look at it, we see the voice from heaven. But I want you to look, I've already read it in the 15th verse or 14th verse. You see Jesus had a voice. Verse 14, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." How do you get saved? By repentance and faith. Repentance toward God because we broke His law. And faith in His Savior, the Son of God. That's it. Repentance and faith. And so we turn our heart, our life, not trusting in ourselves, not trusting in a church membership, not trusting in the law, not trusting in some sort of good works, not trusting in ordinances, whether it be the Lord's Supper or baptism, but trusting in Jesus and Jesus alone. Repentance, because we're all sinners. You realize you're a sinner. And Jesus is the Savior. Put your faith in Him. That's what He's preaching. He's preaching the same thing John was preaching. Jesus came to preach. Look, you would, in the 38th verse. And Jesus said, He said unto them, "Let us go into the next towns, and I preach there also. And there came I forth." I mean, He was a voice. God was a voice. God's Son was a voice. And the Holy Spirit was a voice. You know, the Bible says the Holy Spirit said He will not speak of Himself. Do you know that? Holy Spirit's not going to speak of Himself. But I'll tell you who He will speak of. He's going to speak of Jesus. He's an exalted Savior. You won't get Holy Spirit on your side. You say, "Lord, I don't do it for me. I'm going to do it for You." If you mean that in your heart, the Holy Spirit will give you all the help you need. If you'll say, "Lord, I don't want to do it for me, but I want to exalt You. I want to tell you something. God help you." If you're willing to do it. And so, you see here over and over and over again, there's the picture there that John, I know, saw, John the Baptist. He saw the Spirit descending on the Lord Jesus Christ like a dove. But if you look at that statement, just the statement, at the beginning, the Son of God, and ask who He is, you could say by John, he said He's the Savior. By John Mark, he said He's the Savior. By God the Father, He said He's the Savior. When you look there, He goes in the wilderness. Even Satan testified He's the Savior. When you look in there, all these troubles, there were people that were filled with demon-possessed, and the Son of God set them free from demon oppression and possession. There were even Peter's wife, he was married, his mother-in-law there was sick, just a physical, and the Lord Jesus came in her heart and healed her. The Bible says she ministered unto them. He can heal your physical diseases. Go on, say where the Bible says many. Let's read it in these verses. Verse number, if I can find it here. In verse number 34, "And He healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And look at verse number 40. He goes on to say, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And the Lord says in the next verse, he said, I will be thou clean. You see the power and the moving of the Holy Spirit in every part of the Scripture. But you cannot just look at all the miracles, and look at all the serving, and look at all the signs, and miss the voices. They're everywhere. They're just a simple voice. You know what the book of Mark is about? It's about the Son of Man serving and sacrificing. You know what he's saying to us? He's allowed us to be here, to be a servant, to be a voice. That's it. To be a voice and to be a servant for the Lord. God didn't ask us to give our life as far as in death, but to give our life to him in service, to be a voice. I heard two ladies yesterday went to a house, and a lady was on the phone, and she began to testify about how so many deaths had taken place in their home and in their family. And she was kind of distraught, and she said, well, I'm going to ask you. She said, maybe y'all know, what happens to the soul, or what happens to the person when they die? Do they just stay in the grave? Their soul just soul sleep? You've ever heard that? The Bible doesn't teach that. They didn't know. They had some crazy ideas about what the Bible teach. You know why? Because they were ignorant. They didn't know. And God sent these two ladies by there, and they began to say, you know, I can say this after going on forward, that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. And so she said, oh, I've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And she said, do you have any children? She said, oh, yeah, I do. She said, I was thinking there would be a little one. She said, here comes a 16-year-old boy. And she said she began to witness to him and led him to Christ. All that, all the troubles, not knowing going on in her life, he wanted to come to church. He wanted to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. All that trouble was going on in that family. But he needed just somebody. That'd be a voice. Somebody, that'd be a voice. You don't know what's going on in people's lives, but I tell you this, you have a voice, you have a message, and God says, I want you to serve. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed.